Okay, the boys side. Today's daf is daf Lamed Ches. We're holding the top line from the Amud. And we're continuing to talk about Hilchos, Brachos, and related Halachos. And the first line is Omalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Hai Kuba Di Ara. We already had Kuba Di Ara yesterday, back on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. You'll recall the Rashi on the bottom, the first wide line of Rashi on the bottom, Kuba Di Ara. Is Oise Mokim Chalal Bekira. He goes and carves out an open space on the bottom of the Kira. Jake, if you want. Only if you want. He goes and carves out an open space on the bottom of the Kira, on the bottom of the oven. Then Oise Mesoich, and he puts into it Mayim the Kemach, water and flour. Kemoisha Oise Meilfis, like you go and do inside a pot or inside a pan. It apparently means from Rashi that they didn't do what you would normally consider to be your regular batter that you would put together your dough, but rather this is somewhat of a primitive type of batter where you go and pour in some mayim, you pour in some melach, you let it go and reside there on the bottom of this hollow in the oven, and presumably with the heat of the oven, eventually this is going to rise and it's going to become some sort of bread or a wafer or a matzah or something. Anyway, the question is, what bracha do you make on it? So the Amalei Abaye of Yosef, top of the Omud, Haikuva di Ara, this type of somewhat primitive type of bread that was put together. My Mavorcha Eliyah, what bracha do you make? Amalei. So he said to him, Misavris Nahamahu, do you think that this is bread that you should make Hamoitzi? This is Kufa Bialmahu. This is just a primitive form, an amateuristic form of batter or of dough. It's not the real McCoy. And therefore, Baruch and Aliyah, Boire Minim Mezaitis. Doesn't have the chashibas of bread, so you go make a Boire Minim Mezaitis. Marzucha Kova Sudose Ilave. Marzucha made a ganze kvias Suda on this Kuva di Ara. Baruch and Aliyah, Hamoitzi Lechem in Aret, Bisholish Brochis. So this is fairly familiar to us because we have the concept of mezainis rolls. I know not everybody is happy about the concept, but regardless, if one eats enough mezainis rolls, kuli amamoida, you've been koivea seuda, and as a result, you have to make hamoitzi from the beginning, and you have to say benching at the end. So here too, this is a mezainis type of bread, this kuva de ara, somewhat amateur, primitive type of bread. If you eat it on its own, you have to go and become moitzi and you have to bench. Even though this is in a sense like mezainis rolls or bread, however, interestingly enough, you could be yoitzi your chiv matzah on Seder night, my timer, because lechem oinikarina bay. This is really poor man's bread because this was not done professionally, and therefore it doesn't look like real bread. It looks like as a poor bread, a poor imitation bread. Oh, so then it qualifies for lechem oini, and you can go and eat that on Pesach at the Seder. As many of you may know, among the Svardim, you okay?
Definitely.
Okay, if you have to take a towel, you please take it from the closet.
What happened?
Something's wrong.
Very well, don't worry about it.
Okay, getting back to Agumara. So Agumara says that there is a custom among many Svardim that matzah throughout the year, they make a boidim named Zoynis on its Seder night, since the kriveya, the mitzvah of chilas matzah, on those quote-unquote wafers, then they make hamoitzi. So throughout the entire year, the exact same thing that they make a mezainis the whole year. However, when they eat the matzah on Seder night, they make hamoitzi and lechu and achilas matzah. Anyway, so the same... I'm sorry? No, the same matzahs that we have. Same matzahs. Throughout the year, it's just wafers. It's a cracker. It's a cracker, it's a wafer throughout the year. I'm not saying that this is universal. You'd have to go and ask the Svardim, but I understand that this is a fairly common custom among the Svardim that they make a mezainis throughout the year of matzis, except for Seder night. So that would be the same type of thing as this Kuba Diar. So, now we're going to come into a new parsha. We're going to talk about fruit juices. And what the Gemara is going to tell us is that on fruit juice, we make a shahakal, which is the common custom. Those people that drink apple juice or orange juice, etc., we make a shahakal. Now you can think to yourself, why do you make a shahakal? After all, this comes from the apple or from the orange, shouldn't this have a din of a Boyer Priya Eitz? And we're going to see in the Gemara that the Gemara calls it Zeya Bi'almahu. It's as if this is the perspiration of the fruit. We don't mean literally perspiration. Perspiration typically means, for instance, it happens to be a very warm day, and then it's moist, and there's moisture that accumulates from the outside. So it's not from the peri itself, it just gets wet. Here we're talking about this is the actual essence of the fruit, that is the juice. But the Gemara called it Zebi Almahu, and Rashi explains because your typical pri is given to eat and not given to drink. With the exception, says Rashi, for instance, Zesim V'anovim. People that produce grapes are typically made for the wine, Zesim for the oil. It doesn't mean that there's nobody that eats Zesim V'anovim. Of course people do. However, apparently the vast majority of the Zesim V'anovim are created or are planted for purposes of drinking and not of eating. Masha'enken, when people are going and planting other types of fruits, typically they think of them as eating. Of course there is a very large amount of apple cider and apple juice on the market. But apparently, at least certainly in the times of Chazal, the average apple was not intended to be oskikvetch, to be squashed and crushed and mashed to go and make apple juice, but was made to go and eat. So therefore, each one of them is called a zeya be'almahu, the fruit juice that is produced only has a brocha of a shahakam. Yesh umrim, that juice oranges are different than regular oranges, because after all, juice oranges are intended to be juiced and drunk as juice and not eaten. However, the minig olam is not to distinguish between one and the other, because you don't see people selling now containers of juice oranges that you make on that Boyer Pri Eitz, and then you have regular oranges you make a shahakal. So apparently, this the halacha of the Gemara continues, and that is with the exception of the Zesim V'anovim, all other juices we go and make a shahakal.
How about you have a lot of pulp? Some kind of pulp.
So, in theory, one should, or well, I wouldn't say one should, in theory, that's a very, very good question. Since you have a lot of pulp, maybe that wouldn't be the Zeya that's actually orange itself. But again, I haven't seen anybody making a Boyer Pri Eitz. You know, if any of the outstanding poskim say that one should, then I'm sure there's going to be a Gamsa Gerida. But at the moment, I think the Minig Olam is all fruit juices without exception. We just make a shahakal. Anyway, the Omer Mar Baravashi, Hai Duvsha de Tamri, Dvash, which is honey, which is produced from tamar and from dates, Mavorchen Elevei, Shahakal Ibidvare. Even though you're taking grapes, you're taking dates, and you're converting it into honey, nevertheless, you still make a Shahakal. My time is Zeya Ba'almahu. It's still considered to be Zeya Ba'almahu, like just the perspiration, meaning it's just a secondary product that you can manufacture from tamarim, but apparently the minig ha'olam when they go and plant tamarim is for purposes of eating dates and not producing date honey. Therefore, you make a shakl. So Gemara Kiman Keitana, we find a raya to this from the following Tana of Rabbi Yeshua. It's a machloikis or blazon Rabbi Yeshua. And what we just said now in the name of Mar Barvashi, we have support from Rabbi Yeshua. What is that support? Now we learned in the Mishnah, Dvash tamarim. V'yein tapuchim, v'choymitz sfoinios, v'shar mei peiros shel truma. What happens if you have a zor who goes and eats, or in this case, drinks, dvash tamarim, that's the case we just spoke about, that's the date honey. V'yein tapuchim would mean apple cider, apple juice. Choymitz is essig, that's vinegar, of sfoinios. Sfoinios, says Rashi, are grapes, which are never going to ripen, similar to the oilolois that we talk about from time to time, very small, inferior grapes. So it doesn't produce wine, it only produces vinegar, or the fancy people go and call it dry wine, but we all know it's sour, it's vinegar. Anyway, so these things, you see my prejudice, right? Yep. Anyway, Sharmei Peder Shel Truma, or other different types of juices of Truma. So what happens if a Zor would go and eat from it, or drink from it, or Blezim Achayiv Kerem Achayim, which is no different than any other time that a zor goes and eats or drinks truma bishogeg, you have to pay keren b'chaymish. However, Rabbi Shua Paiter, why is Rabbi Shua Paiter? Because Rabbi Shua says that this is not bona fide truma. This only happens to be, if you will, a person who's mazik the truma. Why is he mazik the truma? Because truma, in the form of dates, or in the form of apples, form of grapes, is supposed to be eaten. It's not supposed to be, or at least these grapes are supposed to be eaten, because these grapes are not good to go and make wine out of. And therefore, and apparently, the essig is probably also deficient. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yeshua holds that this doesn't have the status of the actual actual live fruits, raw fruits, and therefore you would not be considered a normal oichel, and that's why you'd be potter from having to pay the chaymish. If you look at the Rashi, Rabbi Yeshua Poiter, we'll start the Rashi right before that. Mechayev kerem chaymish, third of the narrow line, mechayev kerem chaymish, l'shosa mimenu b'shoigig, a person who drinks b'shoigig, you're a czar, and you drank b'shoigig from Truma, and then you gotta pay kerem chaymish. Rabbi Yeshua Poiter says, Rashi, d'zei ba'almahu, it's only like the perspiration of the fruits, the ein shame truma chalav. It really never gets the shame truma on the juices. The only time that you find a pri which is miyuchad for purposes of the drinking, that's zesim v'novim bilvad. That's like Rabbi Ravashi said that in all the fruit juices you make a shahakol, and that's why by truma you would not have to pay the choymish, because you're not really eating the normal truma, you're just eating in a wasteful manner. And a mazik doesn't have to go and pay choymish, he only has to pay the kerem. So one of the Talmidim asked Rava the following shayla. Trima mai. Don't confuse this with truma, which is with a tof. This is truma with a tes and with a yud. He asked truma, ma, what's the din? Rava didn't know. What's this truma thing? I don't know what you're talking about. What's this all about? Not only don't you know, even Rava didn't know. So Madach Rava didn't know, so how are we supposed to know? However, Baruch Hashem, we have the Rashi. And Rashi does tell us a little bit what it is. If you look at Rashi, truma mahu, again about 12 lines, 15 lines from the top, truma mahu, ma mavorcha ola vua bracha. V'shem truma is called over hakotush ktas, any type of food item, particularly a fruit or vegetable that's kotush. Kotush means that it is crushed. Ve'ena merusik, but it's not mashed, which means that it is certainly been gekvetched, squashed, to the extent of 50% or 80%, but merusik would mean that it's been mashed to smithereens. It's not totally mashed, but it's you did a pretty good job in squeezing it. So now he asked Rava, what would be the din about such a food or such a drink item? So Rava initially didn't even know what he was talking about. Yasa Ravina came to Rava, but Ravina was sitting there before Rava, and on Malay, so Ravina wanted to understand what's this Hahu Meirabanan's Shaila. So he asked him, on Malay, what was tikvetched? What was crushed and not mashed? Was it the shumshumi ka'amris? Are you talking about sesame seeds? And that would be to produce sesame oil. Or the kurtami ka'amris? Or maybe you're referring to kurtami. Kurtami in fancy English is called saffron. Rashi says you go and take that and you crush it and you add to it some wine and you make a drink out of it. Or the porzani ka'amris? Porzani is referring to the chatsanim, those are the grape seeds, and if you go and crush grape seeds and you add water to them, you can make some primitive type of wine.
Temed, I think it's called, right?
In English, it would be primitive wine, and in Hebrew, Rashi says it would be called temed. If you look at Rashi...
Yeah, temed, yeah. I actually sold it once a few years ago. It was delicious.
Oh, no, Baruch Hashem.
It was delicious. They sold it. I can never get it again. It was a delicious...
What a shoot. But I see Rashi almost halfway down. Oy de portzni, ketishas anovim, losis letoicha chatsanim, mayim, losis temed. The important thing is you take the chatsanim, which are the grape seeds, you kvetch them, and from that you go and add water, amachaya, it's a delicious, delicious brew, and you just heard very authoritatively from Barry that a few years ago it was really delicious, and it's a shame you can't get it anymore. But anyway, so this is what Ravina asked to this Hume Rabbanan, what type of truma are you talking about? Is it from the sesames? Is it from the saffron? Or is it from the grape seeds? Amris. Or it puts me Amris. It's Adahochi Vahochi. As Ravin is asking this question, ask your Rabbi Adaitis. So Rabbi says, ah, now I know what this Hume Rabbanan is asking. In other words, this kind of ignited his thought process on the food. And he says, if somebody's talking about trimma of shumshini, kortami, kortami, now I know what he's talking about. And he told him, Omalei, chashilta vadeh ka'amras. What you're talking about is chashilta. Now, what means chashilta? Rashi says, chashilta means dover mo'uch, something which has been crushed. That's what you're asking me about. Oh, based on that, but karta milton, now I remember hodi omer avasi. What did Ravasi say? Hay tamri shel truma, if you have dates of truma, mutilasis mehem trima. You're allowed to go and make trima. That is what we've been talking about all along. This crushing, but not totally mashing. In other words, you kvetched it, squashed it, 50%, 80%, but not 100%. But also lasis mehem sheicha. But don't make beer out of it. Why can't you go and make beer out of it? Even though many people did use dates to make beer. Ask Rav Papa. I'm sure he could give you a beer full about it. But the point is. Earful, beautiful. Okay,
I know, at least somebody did. But anyway,
getting back to the Gemara, the point is, if you were to go make it into sheicher, sheicher is the equivalent of these fruit juices that we've been talking about. So just like when you make orange juice out of oranges, or apple juice out of apples, you can make beer out of tamarim, out of dates. However, that's what the Gemara considers to be zeya bi'alma. And if you're talking about zeya bi'alma, by truma, don't do it. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua said, Potter, that if a Zor were to go and eat or drink the dvash of tamarim or the ein tapuchim, etc., since that's just the zeh ba'alma, you don't have to go and give the choymish, you only have to pay the karen. And therefore says now Rava, he remembers what Rav Asi said, that Rav Asi said that if you had truma, you're allowed to make trima out of it, but you can't go and make sheicher, because trima, you're not totally mashing it, you're just crushing it and kvetching it, that's still okay. In other words, you're still retaining the essence of the original solid form of this food item. Mashenkin, if you make sheicher, you totally liquefy it, you've ruined it in a sense, and therefore you're not allowed to take truma and ruin it. V'ilchus aloch is tamri vavdinu truma mevorchen alevei boire priho eit, because of the fact that you did not convert it into a total fruit juice, but rather it's only half fruit juice, because of the fact that you squashed it and you didn't mash it, it's only 50% or whatever. But priyates, my time with Mimosayu, kind of can make order, because it still retains its original bracha like the beginning, because it still has some of its original essence, its pure form, before you went and made out of it this trim.
On a tangent, coconuts.
Yeah.
You open a coconut, has the juice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not zeya. That is coconut. That the evaporates as well?
That's a very good question. In fact, the Gemara is going to say at the end of today's Amud, we're going to talk about that you have a shemen zayis aguri. Aguri means shamnoi ogur besoichai. Shamnoi ogur besoichai means it's not that you have to squeeze out your coconut or squeeze out the lemon or squeeze out the olive. You have inside it like a container, a pouch that has in it the oil. Halacha l'maisa, that coconut juice, you have to go and speak to a rabbi, to a ruv. But the chayra, that would be a very good question. Anyway, continuing the more asks now shtisa. What meint shtisa? So if you look in the middle of the omen and the Rashi's shtisa, Rashi says machalo osi mikemach kloyois. Kloyois are the kernels of wheat or of barley, shenisyabshu betanur, that you had to go and put into the oven to dry out, be'oid shashibolim lachem, because it was still brand new tvur. And in fact, we learned about this, the gabi, the din of the korban oimer, that they used to go and do the ktsiras oimer the first night of Pesach, to go and bring the next morning the korban oimer. But when they cut it that night, it was still very, very fresh and very, very moist. To be able to go and make from that into your korban minchas oimer, what they had to do was first toast it. After you toast it for a while, that takes out all of the moisture. It makes it now hard. You can go and grind it up into flour. And from that flour, you can go and make from there. You can take that flour and then make it into your carbon oimer, your minchas oimer. See, in the Gemara says the same type of thing. You have shtisa. This is a machel, some sort of chweis, a porridge, if you will, that you made out of kemach kloyes, the wheat, the flour. Of these toasted kernels, what happens with it? So Rav Omer Shakal Nivadvar, you go and make a shahakal on it, while Ushmul Omer Boyer Mimzonis, you make a Berman Zayns. So now, it appears to be a machlaikis. Shahakal or Berman Zayns. Omer Avchiz of Loi Pligi, there's no machlaikis. Hobi Ova, Hobaraka, it depends how thick or how thin this machel is. So we're not just talking about the kemach kloyes themselves. If you went and baked them into a cake, you baked it into a challah, then it's obvious what the bracha would be. Here we're talking about a machel, so some sort of porridge, stew, whatever that you would go and add the kemach kloyes to. The question is it now shahakel or mezoinis? Says the Gemara, everybody agrees that if it's ova, if it's a thick type, it's like a paste type of thing, then the achila avdila, then this would be meant for eating, in other words, for regular, normal individual normal consumption. Rak, however, if it happens to be a very thin, loose type of batter, then l'refuah avdila, then the reason why they took these toasted kernels and they added it to whatever machel, they did it for refuah purposes. And therefore, if you meant it la'achila, you'd go and make on it a boida mina mezoinis. However, if it was very, very loose, then that was for refuah, and you'd make on it a shehakol nibin fayim. Masr of Yosef. It's a great church of Yosef. Vishavan, and everybody agrees. We're talking about on Shabbos. We're now leaving Hilchis Brachis to Hilchis Shabbos. We know in Shabbos there's a great sensitivity to anything having to do with refuah because of the Gzeira of Shchikas Samamonim. So everybody agrees, Shabbochshin es hashtus b'Shabbos. Shtus is the same thing as the Shtisa that we've just been talking about. Boichshin means to go and stir it up. If you look at Rashi, Boichshin megisin bekaf. The arva yofa b'meimav, to go and nicely, rarely stir it up and make agansa, yeah, like a stew and stir it on chops. You can't do that on the flame. For instance, if you have your chulent on the flame, not on the flame mamish, but on top of a blech, you're now going to go and stir it on Shabbos on the blech, because then you're going to help out in the bishul process. Once it's off the blech and it's already cooled off a little bit, then you can go and stir it. But anyway, so here we're talking about your boich shishis b'Shabbos. It's not at all hot. It's just stam machel. You're allowed to go and mix it. V'shoyzen zeisem mitzri. Also allowed to go and drink zeisem mitzri. Both of these, the shtus that we just spoke about and the zeisem mitzri, the chiddush is that even though these are intended for refuah, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos and it's not a problem. Now, why is it not a problem? As we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, because you're allowed to eat a machel and drink a mashke that even though your intention is for refuah. However, if it's a something that is popularly consumed, even if it's not l'refuah, then it's okay. Giving a very simple example, what happens if a person has a sore throat? And his wife and his doctor and three doctors all say the best thing would be to go and take some hot teas. Are you allowed to go and drink a hot tea on Shabbos for a sore throat? Oh, refuah, you're not allowed to do it. And of course you are allowed to do it. The reason is because it's a normal thing that people eat and drink. People go and drink tea all the time, even if they don't have a sore throat. So it's not nicker, it doesn't shout out that I'm drinking this for refuah. I'm drinking it because I like tea. And therefore, even though it does give agav orche, it also gives refuah, that's not an issue. Anyway, so Agamor is talking about a case of this boichshenes hashtis. Oh, the shtisa. You're allowed to go and mix it on Shabbos, even though it's for refuah. So Frank Dimar, if you're telling me that the reason why you're allowing him to go and mix the shtis on Shabbos, to go and drink it, and therefore it's for refuah b'Shabbos mishari, is refuah permissible on Shabbos? Presumably, we just said because of the fact that you have in mind for a mark or for a mashke, but that's more text. But the more at the moment assumes that if it's for a food, it's just like a medicine, you're not allowed to go and take medicines on Shabbos. So Ibazoi is the chayda raya that even a shtus which happens to be raka, which happens to be thinly thinly mixed, not only thinly mixed, it's a very thin consistency and a very small amount of this toasted kemach kloyos of these toasted kernels, very little compared to the amount of the mashke. That's why it's so thin. If you put much more of the kemach, then of course it will become thicker. Now, how do I know that we're talking about a case of a thinly mixed, not mixed, but thinly consistency of the kemach kloyos? So Tosis says, because it used the expression shavin sheboichshin. See Rashi, Tosis about 10 lines lower on the left-hand margin, shavin sheboichshin. Toitzer says, "Ubeklisha meira." On the second line, we're talking about beklisha, meaning that it's weak. It's not a thick type of mixture; it's thin. How do I know? Tani ubeichshem, like tani loshin gibul. Gibul would mean like to knead dough. That's how the Gemara is medayik in Masechta Shabbos. But anyway, so getting back to Amar, so therefore we're talking about this thin type of shtus, and lechoyda he's using it for refuah, and refuah in Shabbos, of course, is impermissible. So Ibazoi, how do they allow this? Muzdach zayin that it's not called for refuah. So if it's not called for refuah, then how do the Gemara go and distinguish between the ova and the rak? And the ova is lachila, and the rak is the refuah. Even the rak is not for refuah. Otherwise, why would it be mutar on Shabbos? Amalei Abayis, Abayis says, come on. The Atmeitz Izra, don't you hold what nan? Shteitach in the Mishnah. Kol oichlin oichel odum lerefuah b'Shabbos. Any type of food item you're allowed to eat, even though it gives incidental medical benefits. For kol amakin choice, you're allowed to go and drink anything, like a hot tea, like eating hot chicken soup. What's the problem? El ma'is lech lechmeimer. What's the reason why you're allowed to eat any ochel and any mashke that gives secondary refuah? Because you say to yourself, gavra lekila to mechavin. The person is really being mechavin to go and eat or go to drink. And whatever benefit you get medically is kind of just an incidental benefit. Ochanami, here too, legavi boichshin es hashtus b'shabbos, gavra lekila to mechavin, even though it does give you perhaps some sort of medical benefit, but the kavona is lachila. And now the Gemara repeats the same thing a little bit more wordy, but it's almost word for word the same. Lishna achrina, elamayis lech lemeim, what are you going to tell me? Gavad achilah kamachavin, urefuah memeila kohavia. Yes, his intention was achila, and yes, Baruch Hashem, there was a secondary benefit of refuah. Hachanam lechilah kamachavin, urefuah memeila kohavia. It's just an incidental thing that you get refuah. But what's the point? The point is that, yes, you do get a benefit of refuah, but since it's not nikkur, that the reason why he's eating it is for purposes of refuah, that's why it's mutter on Shabbos. But b'lamaisa, the shtisa, which happens to be raka, which is this soft mix, because of the fact that it's not over, it's not thick, but it's thin, it's considered to be for refuah, and therefore both Rav and Shmuel would agree that you make a shahar koil and you don't make a boire mine mezayis. Now, freikti moriyetz, soy bazoy, why do I even need Rav and Shmuel? Once we've established that anything which has to do with refuah, but it's really, really a machel, or it's really a mashke, but it gives incidental medical benefits, like hot chicken soup or hot tea, where the person has a sore throat or something like that, he's hoarse and he wants to take that. That everybody agrees that's mutter, 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 mutter. Shoi bazoi. So what do Rav and Shmuel are mechadish to go and tell you that an yoni refuah of this nature, that you go make a shahakul? Doesn't everybody realize that you'd make a shahakul? Because the imei high, if it would only be from that halacha, the gabi Shabbos, hamin lechila kam mechavin refuah memeila kavya. The reason why on Shabbos you're allowed to go and eat it is because it's principally consumed by people for achila and shtia, even by the rank, the masses, having nothing to do with refuah. This individual, he gets it in an incidental benefit. Aval hocha, in the case of making a bracha, kim lechatchil refuah kam mechavin. This fellow is taking it for purposes of refuah. That's why he's eating or drinking. I would think maybe he doesn't even have to make a bracha at all because it's just for a fool. It's not for achila. Since Lamaisi does have a no, boy bruchi does have to make a bracha after all. And this gemara we already had. So this bracha is, in fact, this gemara we had already a couple of days ago. It would be kedai to look back because people always ask these shaylos. If you go and have any type of flavored medicine, do you go and make a bracha on it? So Toisis is very, very clear. If you look at Lamed Vav Omed Aleph, second Toisis, Toisis is quoting from the same Gemara which we just learned now. Second Toisis on Lamed Vav Omed Aleph, Kimin de Islay Ref Hanoa Minei, since he has a no, even though it's principally refuah, if he has a no, boy bruchai. The Nir Nadvar, Tim Odom Shoise Mashkin. Now there's a Zion over here, and the Zion takes us to the Goyis Vitzionim, and that Zion says, Mashkin l'refuah. So if a person is drinking mashkin l'refuah, im a mashkin royin lishtois, if you're drinking castor oil, which is terrible, so lest they anoa minay, leboy bruch, don't make a bracha. Maybe you have to make a bracha dina emes, but no other bracha. However, yes they anoa minay, however it happens to be cherry flavored, or strawberry flavored, and people drink it, it's delicious, this delicious cough medicine. Oh, then, b'loy refuah boy bruch, yes they anoa minay, b'loy refuah. Even incidental to the fact that it's medicine, but it tastes good, and the children want to drink it. Can I have some more of this delicious cherry flavored cough syrup? Then boy bruch, and then you do have to make a bracha after all.
These ludens has a bracha.
I'm sorry?
They're candies.
Those are candies. Yeah, but we're talking about something which is a medicine, like that you drink down, not something that you suck.
And so,
a cough medicine. If the cough medicine is delicious, then you have to make a bracha. If it's, I would never take this in a million years, then you don't make a bracha. What about regular taking pills or taking things like that together with water? So the answer to that is if you're taking the water litzimoin, that the person happens to be thirsty, then you make a bracha. If the person just drank 10 cups of water and he doesn't want to drink anything for the next 3 hours because he has to go probably to urinate because he's drunk so much, so that type of person would not make a bracha. It all depends on whether you're drinking litzimoin, if you're having a benefit from the drink. Bruchim to you. Anyway, on to Gemara. Now, this next Shikul Gemara is a very famous piece of Gemara, and we're talking about making a bracha on bread. Everybody knows you make a bracha on bread, you make a bracha hamoitzi. However, like everything in life, it's not so simple. Zok Gemara, Sha'ala Pasu Oimer, hamoitzi lechem in aretz with the hey hayidia. Ton Rabbanim. Mahu Oimer, what bracha do you make on bread? Ha moitzi lechem in aretz. Rem Nechemi Oimer, moitzi lechem in aretz. You leave out the hay. Is it ha moitzi or is it moitzi? Amar Rava b'moitzi kuliyam alei plead. Everybody would agree that moitzi is an acceptable bracha. Why is it acceptable? To apik mashma, because it's mashma that Hashem has taken it out. What the Gemara wants to know is, when you make a bracha moitzi lechem in aretz, you're thanking Hashem on a past deed that Hashem did for us. What was that past deed? That he was moitzi the lechem in aretz, that he produced for us, Baruch Hashem. We planted the wheat seeds, and miraculously, a few months later, these little seeds grew into these beautiful wheat kernels, which after that we processed, we made bread out of it. So HaKadosh Baruch, he was the moitzi lechem in aretz. Now that's only if you hold that moitzi means something that happened in the past. However, if you learn moitzi is a future term, that you can't thank Hashem on bread for something that's going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened already. So why are you thanking Hashem yet for something which doesn't exist? That's like a Dvarim Shloim Balu Ba'olam. So the question is, how do you define the word moitzi and hamoitzi? The word moitzi, everybody means the apik mashma, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has already been moitzi. It's already taken it out. What do you mean? Tichsev, like we have in the pasuk, Kel moitziyam mimitzrayim, kasi afa yisraim loy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the yin from Mitzrayim. So this pasuk is in Bamidbar Chav Gimel. By that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already taken us out of Mitzrayim. So this is already history. So it uses the term moitzi. Good, so Hashem was moitzi the lechem in aretz. So that's why I'm thanking Hashem. Keep league with the machlekes is beha moitzi with the hay. Rabban and Sabri, Hamoitzi the Apik Masha, that also means the Apik that Hashem already took out. Tchsiv, Hamoitzi the Chamay Mitzorah Chalamish. We're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for giving us water in the Midbar, right? We just had it in yesterday's laning, Shabbos' laning, that the water was Morim Haim, and therefore it was called Marasa. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nest that it comes out of this Tzorah Chalamish, out of this Be'eru Shel Miriam, water springs forth. And this Pasuk is, again, this is already in Devarim, and we're talking about what happened over the last 40 years in the Midbar. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Moitzi L'Chamayim. So again, that means something which happened in the past. So it's Chokhit. That's what the Rabbanan holds. You could say Hamoitzi. However, Ibn Nechemia Sefer, Hamoitzi Dimapik Mashma. Hamoitzi means something that's going to happen in the future. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk. Hamoitzi Eschem Mitacha Sivlois Mitzrayim. Now, where's this pasuk? This pasuk is in Parashas Shemois. I'm sorry, in Parashas Vayera. And in this parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and take Klai Yisrael, and you know what's going to happen? In the future, people are going to talk about this Hamoitzi Eschem Mitacha Sivlois Mitzrayim. So we have the benefit of the Torah Ora Sholem in Oiz Dalet. V'lakachti Eschem Liliyam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take Klai Yisrael out as my nation. V'yisi Lecham Lelikim, and I'm going to be for them as their God. V'idatam, you should know. That this is the beginning of Shmois Vav. That's far before the boy and the Bishalach and the Yisrael. So this hasn't happened yet. So Kodesh Baruch is now telling us what's going to happen in the future. He's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to know, I'm going to be the one, be datem, I'm going to go and be moitzi eschem. So this is going to happen in the future. So if this is going to happen in the future, then it wouldn't make sense to go and say, ha moitzi lechem in aretz. We're not talking about future bread that I'm going to have tomorrow, we're talking about bread that I have today. And therefore,
No, but why are we saying see the past or future? And when Hashem's taking us out of Egypt, the process started when he appears to Moshe and continues. The same way Hashem gives us bread, he gives us bread that was produced yesterday, that we're eating today, and he continues to do so. So while we're making a either-or choice of past or future, it's actually the present.
This is still in the beginning of the Makkos. This is Shemoy Zvov. So we're still in the beginning of Ve'era. Kadosh Baruch Hu is probably, you'd have to look it up exactly, we're probably talking about Makkah number 1 or 2 or 3. And this is a whole process which is still going to take a year until Kadosh Baruch Hu took everybody out of Mitzrayim. So this Hamoitzi is going to happen in the future. And you wouldn't say, according to Nechemiah, you wouldn't make a bracha on food that you've already reaped and already made into bread if this is going to happen in the future. We're not thanking Hashem what I'm going to eat tomorrow, we're thanking Hashem for the food that I have now, which Hashem was already moitzi lechem min aret. So therefore, in Mechem Yisrael, ha-moitzi dimapik mashma, it's mashma futuristic, shenem ha-moitzi eskum itach ha-sil v'mitzayim, and therefore don't make ha-moitzi, just go make the brocha moitzi. For Rabbanan say, who hachi kama lehu, kudshu bricha l'Yisrael. That kasha that you just asked, that raya from Hamoitzi is a shvacha raya, because what Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, kad mafikna lehu, avinna lehu milza, ki heichid yad isu dano hu, te afikis yaschem in Mitzrayim. Tichsev, like it says in that very pasuk, vidatkim ni Hashem alekecha Hamoitzi. What Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to go and take out the Jewish nation. They're going to be my nation. And I'm going to be their God. Vidatim. And now you should know that in the future, every single Seder night and every single evening, when you're going to go and say the Parsha of Tzitzis, when you're going to say Emes Vemunah, when you're going to go and be Maskir, Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos, you know what you're going to be Maskir? At that time, you're going to go and praise me, Hashem, because I was the one that was Moitzi Eschem Itach HaSiv Lois Mitzrayim. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not talking about the fact that he's going to be Moitzi them, but rather he's going to tell us that in the future, we're going to thank Hashem that he was previously in the past Moitzi Eschem. Today, we are Mikayim every night, and we're Mikayim on Seder night, Vidatim, that we know and that we express our gratitude to Hashem, because Hashem Yisbaruch took us out, Amoiti took us out many, many years ago from Mitzrayim. So even though this statement was made pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Hashem is now giving us the mitzvah that we should acknowledge and thank Him post-Yetzias Mitzrayim. So post-Yetzias Mitzrayim, by that time, it'd already be Amoiti. Getting back to Lashon HaGemara, which we went through quickly, Rabbanan, this is the fourth wide line, Rabbanan, who? Hachi kamal kodesh brichal Yisrael. That pasuk means that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael the following, kad mafikna lechu, when I will eventually take you out, avin lechu milza, I'm going to do something very special, that I'm going to make nisim with the flies, keheich di adisa, so that this will remain in your conscious for the rest of your life, dan de ano, who, that I was the one, that afikis yaschem Mitzrayim, that took you out of Mitzrayim. Always remember this, even into the year 2020, I took you out thousands of years ago from Mitzrayim, to chsev yidat gini Hashem, keheichem hamoitzi. Showing, our lady. So, bottom line is, we have a machloikis whether hamoitzi means past or whether it means future, and therefore we have to know what are we going to do at this point. And by the way, what do we do with the raya from the pasuk hamoitzi l'chamay mitzur hachalomish? That sounds like the apik mashma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already took out the water from tzur hachalomish, and therefore, what does Rav Nechemiah do with that? Because Rav Nechemiah said no. Hamoitzi means in the future, the Ma'apik Masha. So what does Rechemi do with that? So Rashi addresses that point, and Rashi says that it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew water until now from the Tzur HaChalamish. However, this pasuk is not referring to what happened until now, but rather it's praising Hashem for the ongoing and the future Moitzi L'chamai Mitzur HaChalamish. If you look at the Rashi, six lines from the bottom, from Lechem Yisrael, the Mapik Mashma, She'osed L'hoitzi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be Moitzi in the future. Tichsev HaMoitzi Yaschem. I should remember pasuk zel Moshe back in Parshas Ve'era when Kadosh Baruch Hu said this pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu. Adayin lo yotze, they didn't leave yet. So that's talking about the future. I was about to moitzi l'chomayim adayin hoyim moitzi kol yemei hayoysim b'midbar. It's not true that the pasuk says Hashem took out water from the Tzur HaChalamish, but the ha moitzi is not referring to the past. It's referring to the future water that we're thanking Hashem. Not only have you quenched our thirst until now, but you're going to continue doing so for the next year or two or three or four until the midbar is going to be over, until we leave the desert. You constantly give us more and more water.
How do you translate that word, hayosim? Hayosim and midbar?
Hayosim, during the
Havaya, okay.
From the Havaya, exactly. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Kishem mishtabchin lei Rabbanan l'Rabzeira. The Rabbanan said to Rabzeira about the following individual. It's not clear what this S is. Maybe that's the person's name. But the person who we're talking about, that they were mishabeach, that they were saying flattering accolades about, was a son of Rav Zvid, Bar Rav Zvid. Maybe his name was S Bar Rav Zvid, not clear. Anyway, Achva, he was the brother of Reb Shimon Bar Rav Zvid. In other words, Rav Zvid had at least two sons. One was the famous Reb Shimon that everybody knew, and then there was this person whose name is somewhat murky and in mystery, whether his name was S, or he didn't have a first name. He was just the son. Which son are you talking about? Yeah, you know, that's the brother of Reb Shimon. Oh, yeah, sure, the brother of Reb Shimon. The guy that sits there in the back. Yeah, I know exactly who you're referring to. You're a small beard. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara doesn't really identify him by name, but they said about him, the Adam Godelhu. He happens to be a Choshevit. Ubaki Bebrachasu. And he knows his brachas solid. It's Omlehem. So then Reb Zeira said to Rabban, if that's the case, like Kishiyov Le'etchem, next time he visits you, have Yeliyodi, go and send him to me. I'd like to, in fact, be Toa Al Kankana. I'd like to go Kankodai. I'd like to go and ask him a couple of questions. So Zimnecha, the Ikla Le'gabay. So Taka, one time he came to Rab Zeira. Guess what happened? The Fikalei Rifta, he took out a piece of bread and said, no, wash and eat something. Pasav Yom, and he made a bracha, Moitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, instead of Ha Moitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. It's Omar. See, he said about him, Zeu She'aymrim Olav the Adam Godelu Ubaki Babrachaisu. This is about the person they're saying, Akendach Brachais. Now, before we continue on, remember that Moitzi, everybody agrees, works. It's Ha Moitzi where there is a Machloikas. So the Chayr of what this Hahu made Rabban, this son of Rav Zvid, did was a wonderful thing. He didn't want to get involved in Machloikas. He said Moitzi because everybody agrees. But he was not happy. Reb Zeira was not happy. Why? He said, Bishlam, he Omar Ha Moitzi. If he would have made the Brocha Ha Moitzi, then Ashmina, time of Ashminil Chesakir Abadan. So number one, he would go and automatically, implicitly be telling us that what's the definition of the word Ha Moitzi, that in fact it's past and not future, and that's why it's an acceptable form for the Brocha. And he'd also be telling us the Lach Lech Abadan, not like Rem Nachamin, you can make Ha Moitzi. El Diyom Ha Moitzi, Maika Mashalan. Big deal, every Cheder Yingle knows you can say Moitzi. That's no Kreis HaChiddush, so I was hoping to hear a Chiddush from him. The Iyu, what's Taka the Svora of this son of Rav Zvid? The Avin Lavin, who can Avshim Yiplok to? He said, what's Taka Haran making a Machloikas? The Ezek Yor, Moitzi, everybody agrees to. So I can say Moitzi and finish.
That's a rare thing.
What's the Halach here?
Agreeability is a rare thing.
Oh, and they're not with us. Baruch Hashem, only Havas Yisrael at all times. The Hilch Zaloch is, Ha Moitzi Lechem in Ha'aretz, Vitaka make Ha Moitzi. The Kaimel and Karabonin, the Amri Dapik Mash, we hold like the Rabbanan and not like Rem Nechemi. But L'choira, based on our Gemara, even though the Halach is Ha Moitzi, Moitzi should be acceptable. Based on the Yerushalmi, no, don't say Moitzi. Why not? If you look at the top three, the alpha be the Moitzi, Kuliamale, Pligi, the Apik, Mashma. The Yerushalmi, you take out the Vov. The Yerushalmi, Mefarish, Taima, Kadeshli, Arevu, Oisios, Kigoinu, Oilam, Moitzi. Another reason why we say Ha Moitzi is because if you say Melechu, Oilam, Moitzi, Oilam ends with a Mem. Moitzi starts with a Mem, and the two can unfortunately get swallowed together, just like by Kriyashma, we remember we had, make sure don't say Al Levavecha quickly, or B'chol Levavchem, try to go and be Mafrid, separate between the similar sounding letters. Here too, in Yerushalmi it says, better say Ha Moitzi rather than Moitzi, because the Oilam, the Mem, and the Mems can get merged. I have a problem because if you just continue on, Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, lechem and min also have a mem. You have the same concern. Shani Hashem the crux. It's a chaposik in the Torah in Tilim. What's the in Tilim? Matzmiach chotzel abheima ve'es of lavoidus adam lahoitzi lechem min haaretz. So therefore, we're quoting a posik. If it was good for David HaMelech, it's good for us too. But now Tosis adds something, if you will, a little bit more Kabbalistic in nature. V'alkein yesh livtzoya b'shtei odav. When you are going and tearing apart a piece of bread.
Breaking bread,
literally. Instead of doing it with one or two fingers, do it with your entire fingers of all 10 fingers. What's that? It's 10 fingers. It says, Tosis kineged yud teveshim amikrezeh. The pasuk that we just read in Tehillim. Matzmiya chotzel abheima v'eis avoidus adam. V'hoitzel lechman aretz is 10 words. Therefore, you're breaking bread. Break it with all 10 fingers.
Yeah, and in the Saran Sharaf,
please.
You must spend my Elta Zeda. He asked, according to the study, this happened by davening in the morning. Malbasharmunim, Matasurim. They're also less concerned. Melech Oilam, Malbasharmunim, those 30 words together should be Hal Malbasharmunim, Hamatasurim. Says the Saran Sharaf, Kibas Pinchas, that's all, and his Belisar, there's a difference. When one comes to eat, one's eager to eat fast. So it's more concern of stirring the words.
Yeah.
By davening, we're davening slow. Uh-huh. No concern of stirring the words.
Maybe this generation.
There's no problem with that because in this Sfar, they say, Mishabchin
is Makdish Malichin, Malichin, the Nun.
The Nun, right.
We're facing
right.
Men, then comes a shame if you put the men together with us.
So you think that's the reason why? Oh, very nice.
No, that's right. During
before you get the Kodesh, in the beginning, Yitzhar.
Yitzhar, right.
Anyway.
These brachas are in the Shah.
The first brachas before Shema.
I think everybody agrees. Yeah. Anyway, so this is the mass over here. Gerade, since we're talking about the 10 fingers, I once asked Rabbi Rottenberg, the Langesint, how come you find by the Sfaradim that after they go and shake the hand, they go and give a kiss to the hand? So he said that the reason is because it's based on Zohar, that you're putting together the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. I don't remember it exactly, but the way I think what he was saying was that each one of the five fingers is connected K. You have two hands, one K and the other K. By putting the two together, you now have a Yud, that's 10. And then, since you always greet someone with an outstretched arm, that's the Vav. So it's Yud K, Vav K. And afterwards, you go and give a kiss, because it's like a kissing the Shem Hashem. So it's, you know, any type of minute you see in Klal Yisrael, it's not just, you know, people made it up and it's a funny business. It's just an Indian of each time you mouth of Hashem and you give him a kiss. Sorry?
Again,
I only saw by Rebbes, not by individuals.
Yeah,
that's you're talking about it. They kiss the hand of the Rebbe. Yeah. That's based on the Gemara in Daf Ches that we had, that the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was Meshabeach, the Modiyim, for three things. And one of the things was that one kisses on the hand as opposed to on the face. Anyway, I ain't shown the bottom of Chesamid base. So Gemara continues on by Yerokas Oymer. When you go and make a bruch on Yerokas, meaning on vegetables, you make a Beira Pridama. Now the Mishnah juxtaposed, a fancy word, this together right after the din of pas, of bread. It says in the Mishnah, generally you go and make a peiris oretz boyer pri adama chutz mina pas shall the pas away my moiti lechem in oretz v'ala yirakis away my boyer pri adam. So the chayyim they're just two separate halachas, but the Gemara feels that because Rabbeinu Hakadosh put the two together, there is a subtle message implied. What is the implicit message? Ketani yirakis dumya de pas. Ma pas shenishtana ayideor, just like pas is not the original product, it was changed by the fire. In other words, you baked the pas. Af yirokas nami nishtana ayideor, even if you took the yirokas which were raw previously and you cooked them, you can still make on them the boire pri adama of our Mishnah. Omer benoy mishmei dabaye. From this, what we just said now, Zoy Samaris, the conclusion is that shlokas means something which you have cooked, particularly cooked vegetables in this connection. Mavorchan aleihem b'ir pri adama. So even though you've changed them from their original state, because they're no longer raw, now they are cooked, you still make a b'ir pri adama. Just like when you took the dough and you changed it into bread, you make your hamotzi. Here too, you make your b'ir pri adama.
The pasta is only when you change it into bread.
Right, whereas your rukos, you make b'ir pri adama, wheat, you make b'ir pri adama in its raw form, and hamotzi in its modified form.
Okay.
So here it's b'ir pri adama ben kach, whether it's been modified or raw.
What you're saying is correct, and as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, l'chayra, sometimes it's taka preferable to go and cook the vegetable, because otherwise you cannot eat it. And easy example would be a hard potato. Can you go and eat a potato unless you go and cook it? I guess if you make small little pieces, you can go and chew it, but normally you can't go and eat potato unless you cook it. So until now, you couldn't, and you can only do it as a result of the cooking. So the Boir Pri Adama L'Chayra only comes now. But you'll find that there are other types of foods that you could eat raw, and when you cook them, you ruin them. So the question is, what are we referring to with it on the cooked vegetables you can make a Boir Pri Adama? Are we talking that they've improved them, or perhaps the other way around? And that's what we're going to discuss. Darish Rav Chizda Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Chizda said in the name of Rabbeinu, Manu, who's the Rabbeinu? That's Rav. Shlokois, cooked vegetables. Mevorchan Aleim Boir Pri Adama. However, Rabbi Seinu, Hayor de Meretz Yisrael. Who are those Rabbi Seinu? Manu, that's Ula Mishmei de Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon was in Eretz Yisrael. So he went and told us, Om Mishlok de Morchan Alein, Shehakli Medvorei. So it sounds like there's a big machloikas over here. That according to Rav, Boir Pri Adama, and according to Rabbi Yechon, Ula Mishmei de Rabbi Yechon, Shehakli Medvorei. Vani Oymer says Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda is the Yovi HaKos of Ashlishi Vechri of Eneim, and he's going to say that Emerson, there's no machloikis at all. Why there's no machloikis? Kol shetchil lasai, when it's in its raw stage, Boir Pri Adama, Sholkai, if you went and cooked it, in a sense you've ruined it, She make a shahakal ni bedvare. Choshet chilos shahakal ni bedvare. Anything when it's raw stage, when it was basically inedible, he make a shahakal. Shokay, if you cooked it, you may bar priya dama. So now let's explain. Originally it was raw and you needed to cook it, and now shulkin, you cooked it, it's very priyadama. Mishkachas, I can give you three examples. Bekarva, the silka, the kara. Karva is kroat. Kroat is cabbage. You can't go and eat raw cabbage. Yeah, I guess you can cut it very, very thinly and you can make from it coleslaw, but otherwise you wouldn't normally eat large leaves of cabbage. It's not normally eaten. Not that you can't eat it, but that's normally not the way you would do it. But what you can do is you can go and put into some meat and you can make gefilte kreut and you can make delicious stuffed cabbage, and that's a different story. Then it's edible when you go and you cook it. Silke is beets. A hard, raw beet is very hard to eat. However, once it's cooked, those beets are, it's hard to beat that type of machel. And then you have kara. Kara is gourds or pumpkins. If you ever try to eat a raw pumpkin, you'll realize it's not really edible. However, you can go and cook it and you can make delicious pumpkin soup or pumpkin whatever, and it's givaldik. So these are the types of three things that until now is shakel, as a result of shalka, you cooked it, now it's a bari priyadam. Elikoshet chilos and bari priyadamah. Give me an example of something that you started off raw when it's bari priyadamah, that you could eat it that way, and then shalka when you went and cooked it, then it becomes a shakel. What type of case is that? Tumi is tum, is shum. Shum is garlic, knobel, and krei karsi is leek. So the Gemara is telling us about those two, that if you eat them when they're raw, that's kishmak, but priyadam. If you cook them, you really ruined it, and therefore you only make a shahakal. But is that really true? After all, people use garlic and karsi all the time, and they use it in their stews and in their soups and things like that, and it improves the taste. How is the Gemara saying that you ruin it? So it's not my kasha. You look at this long toisis over here. Toisis says, v'im toimer. I mean, every day of the week people go and use knobel, they go and use garlic to go and season various stews or roasts or whatever, and it's gewaldic. The bishul makes it better. The reason why they improve is not because of the shum itself. You go and, everybody should experiment after the shir, go home and go and buy some garlic if you don't have any, put it into water and cook it up, and just taste now this garlic which has been cooked. See if it's better or worse than before. What Tois is telling us is it's going to be worse. If you went and cooked it together with other ingredients, together with basar and melech, it's an amdra masa. But just on their own is gunish med gunish. And then Tois goes through a whole bunch of other cases where they improve or they get, or it's the other, or the reverse, where they are not improved by cooking what the halacha would be. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the bottom line is Rav Chizda said that there is no machloikis between Rabbeinu, which is Rav, and the Rabbi Seinu, which is Ula Mishum Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Both agree that depending on the circumstances, sometimes shlokos is an improvement, and therefore you would go and make a bar priyadam, and sometimes it's not, and therefore you'd make a shahakal. Dorish of Nachman, Rav Nachman comes out in the beginning, almost word for word the same, with only minor differences. Dorish Rav Nachman Shum Rabbeinu. Now, who is Rabbeinu? Not, like we said before, Umanu Rav, Umanu Shmuel. They shlokim b'vorch aleihem bar priyadama. V'chavireinu, instead of saying Rabbi Yisainu, he says Chavireinu. Hayor de Meretz Yisrael, Umanu, that's Ula Mishmei der Biyachanan. Why does it change from Rabbi Yisainu to Chavireinu? Says Rashi, very simple. Because as far as Rav Chizda is concerned, Ula Mishmei der Biyachanan were his seniors or his elders, so he referred to them with Bederach Kovet as Rabbi Seinu. Mashenkin Rav Nachman was a colleague of Ula Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore it's Chavir Reinu. Anyway, Nishkanavki Minah, but what did they say? So Navani Oimer, from this point on, Rav Nachman Yitzchak disagrees with Rav Chizda. And he says, it's not that everybody agrees and it depends, it gets better, it gets worse. No. It's in fact a real machloikas over here. Do you say on cooked vegetables, or do you make a shakal? This Sanya, and I'm going to bring you a raya, not from Hilchai's vegetables, but from Hilchai's Pesach, the Gami Matzah. And now we're going to talk about, I think Brother Shai mentioned this yesterday, about the Indian of Gibrat. The Sanya. What happens if a person took a matzah and he went and he was shorui? Shorui means he soaked it. Rokik means it's like a wafer, a matzah that you soaked. Or instead of soaking it, he went and you cooked it. However, it didn't disintegrate and become nothingness. It was still intact, like we had yesterday. The pruso is still intact, but it's much, much more wet. or moist than it was before. Now he's saying to yourself, why would a person do something like that? Either because the person wasn't thinking, or in fact there are people, especially when they get older, it's hard for them to go and chew the hard matzah. So if you go and if you're able to moisten it up, it makes it much more easily edible. Good. Anyway, the question is, can you be yoitza with such water-sogged, water-logged, water-soggy type of matzah? So the Rokhi Kashori we're not going to get involved in. That everybody agrees you can be yoitza with gebrocht matzahs. However, mevushol shaloi nimuach is a machloikis remeyer mit Reb Yossi. Remeyer says, if you cooked the matzah, it didn't disintegrate, it's still intact, you could be yoitza achilas matzah. Reb Yossi oimer, yoitza Rokhi Kashori. The gibbutz, that's okay. Avalim mevushel, but if it's cooked, avapishlo inimuch, you cannot go and use. So now, what seems to be the machloikis on the surface? The Gemara assumes that this is a case like the cooked vegetables. Here you're cooking the matzah, here you're cooking the vegetables. Just like you had by the cooked matzah, a machloikis, can you use it for Pesach, can you not use it for Pesach? What's the basis of the machloikis? The base of machloikis is, after you cook it, is it still considered to be like its original me'ikara, its original b'miltzei koi? Is it still the original status, or has it changed as a result of the cooking? So Reb Meir says it's still the same, so therefore no problem, you can use it. Reb Yossi says, no, it's changed. So the same thing would apply to the vegetables. The Reb Meir holds that it's still the same vegetable. Yeah, okay, it was raw before and it's cooked now. You make a bari pri domus. So Reb Yossi says, oh no, it's changed radically. Just like the matzah has changed, you can't use it anymore for Pesach. You can't go and make a domus. You have to go make a shahakel. So that seems to be the machloikis, says Reb Nachman ben Yitzchak. However, the Gemara quickly says, no, v'loi. Cool the Amakins and everybody Gishlok and Mavorchan Aleim Boyer Priyadam. Everybody would agree. In other words, between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, Boyer Priyadam. So why does Reb Yossi say that you cannot go and use this for Pesach? It hasn't changed. You make the same bracha Boyer Priyadam. In this case, you'd make the same bracha Hamoitzi. The reason is because you have to be toyim the matzah. It's not enough that it looks like a matzah and it smells like a matzah. You have to be toyim the tam matzah. However, if it's all water logged, it's all soggy, you don't take to touch the tam matzah anymore. And that's why you would not be yoitza. In fact, the Gemara is in Mesechtes Psochem, they talk about what happens if you had a matzah which was enclosed in some other food, like a sandwich in between something else, and so therefore your palate didn't taste the matzah, even though you swallowed down the matzah. The Gemara says you're not yoitza, you have to have the tam matzah. Here you don't have the tam matzah because it's all watery. Avaloch, in our case, if Reb Yossi moida the gavid halacha of the vegetables, even Reb Yossi could be moida that you make a boiter pri hoadav. Our case of the cooked vegetables. This is Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Yochanan. Now we have Reb Yomin bar Yefes in the name of Reb Yochanan. Oh, now there's a machloikis between Talmidei Reb Yochanan. Ishlok Mavarchan Aleim Shakli Midvari. Omar Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak, that's Reb Nachman Yitzchak they had a moment ago. Kava Ula Lishabeshte Ki Reb Yomin bar Yefes. What does that mean? Remember, Reb Nachman Yitzchak was previously quoting Rabbi Seinu, or Chavireinu, Hayordin Mi'eretz Yisrael, Umanu Ula Mishmeid Reb Yochanan. What did Ula say in the name of Reb Yochanan? Shlokes Mavorchan Aleim Shehakol Liyeh Midvarim. Aha, Reb Nachman Yitzchak felt that the one that was right over here and the real Mesoida of Reb Yochanan was Reb Chiya bar Abba, and therefore it's Boirei Pri Hoadam. And that Ula was only mimicking what he heard from Reb Yomin bar Yefes to the point that he heard Reb Yomin bar Yefes saying the name of Reb Yochanan, that he automatically dropped Reb Yomin bar Yefes and he went straight to Reb Yochanan. He said, this is what I heard from Reb Yochanan. Well, really and truly, he didn't hear from Reb Yochanan, he heard from Reb Yomin bar Yefes. And Reb Yomin bar Yefes was wrong, said Reb Nachman Yitzchak. And therefore, that's how Ula got messed up. Kava Ula Shebeshte. Shebeshte means his mistake. He was kovei his mistake. In other words, he confirmed his mistake as a result of Reb Yomin bar Yefes. If you look at the Rashi over here, Amr Reb Nachman, it's about 10 lines higher in the Gemara, in the Rashi. Amr Reb Nachman Kava Ula the Shebeshke Reb Yomin. Ula She'omer Mishum Reb Yoichanan Li'el. That you say a Shehakol. Lomad the Kava Shibusha, his mistake was based on Kin Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes that we had in the Gemara. Achiniska Balibai, he heard it a couple of times. It was became Kavua Balibai, became firmly embedded in his heart. But really, it's not Rabbi Yochanan never said that. It's Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. But as we'll see in the Gemara, we're going to discount Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes very, very quickly. Says Gemara, Toyi Ba Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira heard this and he started kind of like scratching his head. And he's saying, how can you compare the two, Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? And the Gemara asks four questions, one after the other, or makes four distinctions. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Daik, Vigom, Shmaitzim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, when he heard a halach from Rabbi Yochanan, he was Medaik, and he said it meticulously, in the, like we had the Gemara before, Rochba, it was very careful. He said Stav instead of Itzdaba. Some people were very bad. He was Makbani Chazit over and make exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes, like Dyke. You know, he came to the shir, he was half asleep, he looked at the iPhone from time to time, he was thinking of not focusing. Yeah, it was a wonderful shir today. What did he say? I'm not exactly sure. We talked about something about Yerokas and something about Matz and something about this. It was all exciting, but he really wasn't Medaik. So that's number one. The Oid, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Kotlosin, Yoimin Mahad, Talmud, Kamad, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Every 30 days, he would go and review everything that he had learned in the past 30 days. He would review it in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan would hear what he had to say to make sure that he would correct him if he ever said something incorrect. See, if you look at the two choices before the end, right next to Agmar, Kol Tulos and Yoyim Mahadet Tamudei, Lab Davka Kol Tamudei. It doesn't mean that he reviewed Gan Shas every 30 days. El Kol Masha Yoloim B'Shloishim Yoyim, Ha'yechoyzer Hakol Lefana B'Yoyim Shloishim Yechan. On the 31st day, he would say, "Okay, Rabbi, let's go over the last 30 days that we just learned."
The original Dershu.
Last night was mentioned. This
was David Hafsetter last night said it's so minashemayim that the siyum was made last night because that's the koyach of dirshu that every 30 days they have a bechina on the last 30 blot. Yeah, siyum
on shas.
There was a siyum on shas last night in dirshu. Rabbi Yomin Ben Yefes, Loi, Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes, Loi Mahadir, he doesn't go over whatever he learned over the last 30 days. He's not one of the dir shuv hair takers, and so therefore, how can you compare him to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? So that's already two things. In other words, number one, he's not Medayik, and number two, he doesn't chazer in front of his Rebbe like Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. But besides, oit, Bar Mendein, putting aside the first difference that we said, that he's Medayik and he's not Medayik, Bar Mendein, and putting aside that he is Mahadir Talmudei Kamid Rabbi Yochanan and he's not, I'll give you another case. The Huturmisa. Turmisa is the name of a type of bean, which apparently is quite hard. The Shalkile Sheva Zimnin Bikdeira. You cook it 7 times in a kdeira in a pot. And after them, then you can eat it as a dessert because after 7 times it becomes quite sweet. And then it's kishmak like a kompot. Also, they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what bracha do you make? So you see, like Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and not like Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes. The oil, I have a fourth raya on Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and I saw Rabbi Yochanan myself. Now we're not talking about vegetables. Now we're talking about a zayis, which is an olive, which you normally make a bar priyat. And this was maliach, which was well salted. It was so salted, says the last toises. Umaliach kiroi seyach. We have a concept when it comes to salting something very, very vigorously. It has a status like reseach, as if it was cooked. So therefore, it's as if I cooked, or Rabbi Yochanan cooked this zayis. Umberich olav tchila v'soif, and he made a bracha both before and after. Who? Okay, but I don't know what bracha he made. If you're going to go and tell me, like Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, that what you're supposed to do is make a bari priya dama, because even though it's cooked, it still retains its still original state and original status, and you make a bari priya dama. In this case, legabe the zayis, betchila mevorach olav bari priya eitz. And I understand he would make a bari priya eitz, even though it's been cooked, you make a bari priya eitz on this zayis. What bracha would he make? Obviously, mevarach ala bracha achen mein shalish. He would go and make a bracha of the alo eitz, finishing off alo aretz vala peiros. Eliyahu mishlok is lav musayu kaimi. If you're going to tell me no, that they lost their status as a result of cooking it, it's mishlam betchilah mevarach ala shakolim bedvarik. That's obvious. What bracha would you make at the end? L'chor, there's no bracha to make. Now you're saying to yourself, what do you mean there's no bracha to make? You go and make a bar nefashos. But the Gemara in the Havamina holds that you don't make a bar nefashos. Why did the Gemara have such a Havamina? We had, but back in Masechtas Nida, you remember, the Gemara said that in fact there are mandiyam, a very respected mandiyam, that you don't make a bracha achrayna on certain food items. for those of you that don't happen to have with you a Gemara Nida. However, if you want, you can take a look to Daf Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Mem Dalid Amid Beis. You start at the very top of the Amud, where the Gemara says, Amr Yitzchak bar Abdimi Mishum Rabbeinu Al Habeya. On eggs, but mina kufra on different types of meat. But if you're eating vegetables, there's no soif bracha, there's no nuch bracha, no barnafoshes. Yes, on vegetables you do have a nuch bracha, you do make a barnafosh. But on mayim you don't. You drink water, you make a shahakal, but you don't make a burn of fashions. Even on water, you also. So you see from this that in fact there's a big machloikis that gotta be certain food items, particularly marka and maya, yarka being the vegetables and water. Do you make a burn of fashions or not? So now getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara is bringing a raya that on shlokois you make a bar priya dama from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha on zayis maliach batchila ubesoif. The havamin of the Gemara would be that by yirokois you do not make a bracha basoif like that man the Yomar daf mevdalin amid beis, and therefore says the Gemara, I see that Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha on zayis maliach, so the bracha rishoyin, I can't tell you for sure whether he said a bayir pri eitz or whether he made a shahakal. But the fact that he made a bracha achroina, it must be that he considers this still to be the motzei koi in its original state. And that's why he probably made a bayir pri eitz at the beginning. And therefore he certainly made an alhu eitz ala peiros at the end. But Eli Amish shlok is la milsayu kind of first wide line. If it's not the milsayu, mishlam betchila, okay, shahakal, that I understand. El milsayu, what bracha would he have made? Maybe he holds like the man the yomer, like we do, that even on Yarka you make a bar and a fush. And the same thing applies to this cooked zayis, he would do the same thing. Now we're talking about murar. Yoitze ben, you yoitze with them, will be kelchen and with their stem or with their stalk. In other words, romaine lettuce. You don't only have to eat the leaves, you can also eat the stalks. In fact, a lot of people only eat the stalks because of their concern about bad bugs. But anyway, bottom line is you can be yoitza with both. Avo, but make sure that they are still fresh. Loi kivushin, they shouldn't be soaked, in other words, pickled. Veloi shlukin, they shouldn't be well cooked. Veloi muvashon, they shouldn't be partially cooked. Make sure that they're still raw. If you're going to go and tell me that even when you cook a vegetable, it still remains in its original state, then shlukin my loi. So what's the problem in cooking them? Go and cook your mara, what's the problem? Everything in mara, the problem is not in the bari priya doma aspect, but shani osim in a tamar veleka. It's got to have a tamar, it's got to be bitter. And if you're going to go and cook your mara, it's going to be like a cooked duck.
It's a mara in your problem. It's not bari priya doma's problem.
Exactly. It's not a bari priya doma, it's the alachidah's mara problem. Good. Ending off with one last tickle. Amr Rabbim the Rabzeh. Rabbi Yochanan Hechi Mevorach al Zayis Maliach. You said that Rabbi Yochanan on one Zayis, he made a bracha lefanav and a bracha liachrav, or lefanel liachrav. Break the Gemara, I don't understand how. Kim the Shkil is Garina, once you took out the pit in the middle of the Zayis, guess what? But for the you don't have a full Zayis anymore. In other words, the Gemara is assuming.
It's Kizayis and not a Zayis.
Exactly. Everybody, the Gemara is assuming now that the Shir Kizayis is the full Kizayis with the pit inside, and if you're removing that, then he didn't have a full Shir. How could he make a Brocha at the end? For purpose of the Kizayis, you don't have to have the largest Shir of Kizayis. A regular Kizayis is enough. Vahu Dais, the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, the Zayis that he ate, was Zayis Godel Habis, even a Graysik Zayis. The Avagab, the Shaklu, the Kanisa, even though you took out the middle pit, Bashli Shuri still had that Shir. Not like we learned in the Mishnah. Zayis Yomru, Loikot, not the small one. Vulay Godel, not the biggest one. Obeyni, as a Mitla, middle size. Vizel Aguri, and that's what we call the Shemin Zayis of a Zayis Aguri. For Omer Bavo, Loy Aguri Shmoy, the name is not really Aguri, it's Eli Avruti Shmoy. The Amalit others say that really the name is Samruzi Shmoy. So how do you get a name like Aguri? Flamenikr Shmoy Aguri, Shishamnoi Ogur Besoichai. This is what we spoke about, mending what you had at the beginning of the Shir, because you have like your coconuts that you were talking about, that you have the mashka in a pouch inside. So if you look at the Rashi on the second line, Ogur Besoichai, so Rashi, Mzuman Lotzis Mimanu. It's easy to go and remove the olive oil from it. It's not like apple cider, vetutim, or like from berries, that if you want to get out the juice, you got to kvetch, and you have to squash, and you have to, yeah. No, it's just like a grape. You go and pierce the grape, guess what? It starts flowing. If you go and put a hole into an apple, it doesn't start apple cider. So this is aguri, as opposed to the other. That's how it got its name. It's ogre.